I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I love this song, and I loved it the day it came out, 36 years ago.
Does that make you feel old?
Yes. And it'll happen to you someday, too, when you start hearing the songs of your youth getting played nearly 40 years later.
When they become the classic rock songs.
Yes. Yes.
Like Nirvana, classic rock.
And that just rocks my world.
What? Really?
A third of parents eat their kids' lunchbox rejects for dinner, according to a recent poll. The survey of 2,000 parents with school-aged children took an in-depth look at the American child's palate, nutrition, and how parents get creative to keep their kids fed.
Well, now we know why they have no discipline.
According to what does that mean? Like, you have to eat everything in your lunch? What if I got full?
I ate what was presented to eat
in front of you.
Well, if it's in my lunchbox and I'm going to get punished for bringing it home, it's going to go in the trash.
Right.
Very simple way to get around that. According to parents, although more than one in five, 17%, said their child's lunch is much more gourmet than they had as a kid, parents estimate that 21% of their child's lunch comes home uneaten at the end of the day. When asked about their kids' least favorite lunch foods, parents listed snap peas. Well, that's just cruel. Green beans, along with tuna salad and hard-boiled eggs. The classic sandwich, chips, and juice always is eaten or drank.
What was the one thing in your lunch that you did not ever get but coveted because the other children had it? Or what did you bring that the other children wanted?
Let me reword the question just a little bit. What was the one thing that would end up in my lunch that I would throw away and fail to tell my mom until I was a little bit older? Can you change that? Mm-hmm. I love a peanut butter sandwich.
Okay.
No jelly?
Brought one even into work earlier this week.
Okay.
I hate jelly on a sandwich, but I love jelly.
Oh, God, I love peanut butter and jelly.
I hate peanut butter and jelly. Together.
Wait, if you hate it on a sandwich, where do you eat it? By the spoon?
No, on like a an English muffin.
Okay.
Is that a problem?
Sam, what was yours?
I always ate everything in my lunch.
And my favorite jelly, by the way, since you didn't ask.
Strawberry preserves.
Is apricot.
Oh, no. See, I wanted grape and we always had strawberry.
Mm. Oh, I'm a big fan of strawberry preserves. I still pack my lunch like I'm a grade schooler. Every day.
I bring in my lunch. I brought a BLT and some Fritos in today. Homemade, except the Fritos.
We never got fruit roll-ups in our house.
Oh, my mom put that in all the time.
Mm-hmm. Bragger, all of my friends had fruit roll-ups, and I would just sit there with a longing of a child that did not have the gift that was the fruit roll-up and just hope that maybe someone didn't want that fabulous, pressed, leathery delicacy.
Mm.
Strawberry, cherry.
I knew that was going to be your favorite.
Oh! The cherry ones were so good.
Now, I used to get school lunch in grade school, and then high school I started packing my lunch. But in grade school, I got school lunch, and I would get the chocolate milk because you got to pick one milk out of the milk cooler every time. And I would use that chocolate milk to leverage what I wanted from my friends' lunches who their parents packed their
Smart
lunch.
Play.
It
Smart
worked every play. Time.
What is the one thing from your youth that you still eat but you're embarrassed to tell anybody about?
If you put Fruit Loops in front of me, I would eat the entire box.
If you put Lucky Charms in front of me, I would eat the entire box.
If you put any box of cereal and any gallon of milk in front of me, it's gone. No question. And I don't even eat cereal anymore.
I even bought a bag of Big League Chew a couple of years ago. Just to remember what it was like.
Now, do you
chalky?
It was mildly chalky.
Milk first or cereal first?
Cereal first and then the milk. Because you got to get just the perfect amount of milk.
See, I do cereal first and then the milk, but then I bring the box of cereal with me so that I can eat more than one bowl of cereal.
Okay, and then somebody just reminded me on the text line, yes, I still buy this. In fact, warmed up a can about 2 weeks ago, and it was just a delicious lunch before I came into work. SpaghettiOs with Franks.
Oh, any Chef Boyardee.
Franken beans?
No.
Oh, the one that you buy in the can.
SpaghettiOs with the hot dogs
in it. Oh, gross.
Delicious.
That's so gross.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, SpaghettiOs, I haven't had those in years, and I'd eat a bowl right now.
Talk about cancer, but delicious.
Yeah, there's a lot of MSG in there.
Is there really?
Yeah, I feel like sausage doesn't belong in a can.
The hyper-preserved food, just assume it's not good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I was walking through the grocery store the other day, well, a couple weeks ago, and I just happened down, it was in the pasta aisle. I don't know if that's the right place for it or not. I guess it is. And I walked by, like, not the little can of SpaghettiOs with Franks, the big one, the industrial size can. And I don't know what was going on in my brain, but I couldn't help myself. And I put it in my cart. And then I got home one day from the gym, and I wanted to make sure that I ruined everything I just worked out with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fired up a gigantic can of SpaghettiOs with Franks.
Ooh, the Go-Gurt.
Got it.
Is that the one that comes in the sleeve?
In the tube.
Yeah, and you have to...
Mm-hmm.
I almost said something that would become an instant Dana-ism.
Let it rip.
No way. You take the Go-Gurt and you just squirt it in your mouth?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yep.
Story here from CBS News. When a dog showers you with kisses, it's often to show you affection. But there's also a reason that's rooted in their evolutionary history. To better understand the reasoning behind a dog's licks, Dr. Alexander Horowitz, a dog researcher and best-selling author of The Year of the Puppy, How Dogs Become Themselves, tells CBS News that we should look at their ancestors. Dogs are descended from wolves, and when wolves hunt and return to their pack, then all of the other wolves will swarm them and lick around their face. The reason they do this, says Dr. Horowitz, is they're asking the wolf to regurgitate a little bit of what they just hunted, so your dog's lick of you when you come home is absolutely a greeting, you know. They're happy to see you.
You know where else that dog's tongue's been.
But it's also a little bit of a request for whatever you just ate before you came home.
Okay.
Well, that's delicious.
I do not let dogs lick my face.
Really? I wouldn't let a dog lick my lips.
But you know people that will be like, come give me a kiss, and they tongue their dog.
Okay, wait.
I have seen people do it, Scott.
Like lick their dog's tongue with their tongue?
Yes!
That's disgusting. Yes! Who does that?
Scott, look at the text line right now. I guarantee you there are people that say they lick their dog. It's disgusting. I'm sorry. It's not my thing.
I do like to joke that people make out with their dogs. Because it looks like they're making out with their dogs.
Well, sometimes, yes. But I've never seen anybody, like, French kiss their dog. That's gross. Are we in agreement?
I think we're all in agreement on that.
I've seen it. We're in agreement that it's gross. I disagree that no one's ever seen it. People do that.
Would I know who you have seen French kiss their dog?
No.
Okay.
How filthy is a dog's mouth?
It's cleaner than a human's.
No, a dog's mouth is full of bacteria and, in fact, is not cleaner than a human's. Oh. That is an old wives' tale.
Oh.
While there are some similarities in the bacteria found in both species, dogs have a variety of dental bacteria that humans do not have. 615 different kinds, as a matter of fact.
Wonder if they get that from,
let's not.
Licking their E. coli region?
Yes, yes, yes.
So gross. It's not the act, it's the sound.
Oh, my God. I do not let that happen either. If I am in the room, you are not doing that.
I can still hear Stella's sound that she would make when she would be cleaning herself.
They always, like, go at it, too. There's never a modest cleaning.
It's not a subtle sound. 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. Grievances coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, so get them ready to go. We will start promptly right after ABC News at 5 o'clock here on KMBZ.
You know, airlines got a lot on their hands, and I get it, but every once in a while we see a story, and it's just like, what? What? And that is what I'm about to read you here. Comes to us from San Francisco. Channel 5 posted it. A United States veteran was reportedly kicked off a flight at San Francisco International over a T-shirt she was wearing. Okay? Airlines have dress codes. I get it, right?
They do.
NBC Bay Area News reports that Catherine Banks was set to fly out of SFO on Wednesday before a flight attendant told her the T-shirt she was wearing was threatening. The shirt read, "Do not give in to the war within. End veteran suicide." Banks, a Marine Corps veteran, says the words on her shirt are for the work she does for others in preventing veteran suicide and was not meant to be threatening. A male flight attendant was saying, "Ma'am," and I looked around like, "Who are you talking to?" And it was me. He said, "You need to get off the plane." She says, I replied, "What did I do?" After getting off the plane, Blank shared that the flight attendant told her that the shirt was deemed threatening. I said, "Are you kidding me? I'm a Marine Corps vet. I'm going to see my Marine sister. I've been in the Corps 22 years, worked for the Air Force for 15. According to Banks, the attendant told her he didn't care. And the only way she was going to get back on the plane was to take the shirt off. So Banks changed into a sweatshirt to stay on the flight. People Magazine is reporting that according to Delta's contract of carriage for U.S. flights, the airline has sole discretion to determine whether or not your attire is appropriate. Delta, by the way, has apologized and says,
no, wait.
Delta says the matter in question has been resolved and thanked the passenger for her service.
Now, did she end up having to switch out into another shirt?
She threw a sweatshirt on.
Threw a sweatshirt on, okay. First of all, the shirt is not offensive. I think we have an overly sensitive...
Do not give in to the war within and veteran suicide.
Yeah.
In what world is that threatening?
Like I said, I think that we have an overly sensitive male flight attendant who saw the word war...
Or suicide.
And
then didn't read all the other letters and words around it?
Well, I don't know. She should have not been ordered off the plane. But even if she was, and even if for a brief moment the world had lost its collective mind and deemed that shirt to be offensive, why couldn't she just turn it inside out? There's nothing wrong with what she was wearing at all. In fact, I commend her for wearing it and the work she's doing. But, I mean, I've seen people, and not just necessarily on planes. I think if you have the F word on your shirt and you're out in public.
I think
that's inappropriate.
Absolutely.
And I've walked past some people in the grocery store or, you know, walking into a movie theater. And I'm like, or at a restaurant even. I'm like.
Absolutely.
What in the name of Sam Hill made you think that that was a good idea to wear that thing out in public? Just because it's on a shirt doesn't mean it needs to go out in public. We were in an airport recently, and we were in that long line that it takes to turn your luggage in because it's too big for carry-on. And there was a guy in front of me, about five people in front of me, with a shirt and it takes a lot to get me to go, whoa. But I can't even say the words that were on this shirt.
Shirt.
And I was like, wow. You either have no brains or big stones, or maybe a mixture of both. But whatever. 913-586-7798. You're welcome to weigh in at any time. This story from CNN. Iceland's economy is outperforming most European peers after the nationwide introduction of a shorter working week.
Okay.
With no less pay.
Oh.
According to research that was released, with no less pay.
Oh, with no less pay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Let me rewrite that. With no loss in pay.
Thank you.
Between 2020 and 2022, 51% of workers on the island nation had accepted the offer of shorter working hours, including a four-day week. Two think tanks found, saying the figure is likely to be even higher today, now that we're in 2024. These were just for years 2020, 2021, 2022. Last year, Iceland logged faster economic growth than most European countries, and its unemployment rate is one of the lowest in Europe. Quoting here from one of the researchers, Gudmundur Haraldsson, this study shows a real success story. Right? This story shows a real success story. Shorter working hours have become widespread in Iceland.
Those things don't correlate.
Why not?
The other 49% are the people that kept the country rolling. You can't just not work 3 days a week.
Well, this is a four-day week. Oh, you said you can't not work 3 days a week.
Correct.
Don't you think you can get just as much done if you work more focused and more diligently for 5 hours versus going to the water cooler and grabbing snacks and checking Facebook for 8 hours?
Oh, you mean do what we do for a living?
Yeah. In most normal jobs, if you really worked for 5 hours, you could get just as much done as you do throughout the day and eight. I truly believe that. I've said the same thing about high school.
But you
those
would have to
do
work.
Not have to be in there as long as they are.
But who, you're going to have to work. There's no going to the bathroom a lot.
Studies show you lose focus after 90 minutes.
The average worker in America,
I believe, we should be working 90 minutes.
Studies have found works, I think, 3.4 hours per day, if I'm not mistaken.
When you look at all of it. You mean like actual work done?
Right. Now, construction workers would say that's hogwash.
Yeah, you've got to get the roof on. You've got to get the house up. Okay. Yeah. But for the most part, if you work in an office, why does it have to be 8 hours? Because someone decided 100 years ago we were going to work 8 hours?
Because it used to be 12, and it was labor unions that got the 40-hour work week.
That is true.
I just think we just sort of picked that willy-nilly, and we could be doing everything that everyone needs to be doing in six.
Except for to Scott's point, the other massive portion of society that has to be hands-on for those full 8 hours.
Nursing? Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a class system now?
No.
You white-collar people, you work 4 days a week, only 4.5 hours a day. Everybody else, blue-collar, 12-hour days.
But there have been studies. This is not the first study I've seen that indicates that businesses, for example, we had a story not too long ago, I think it was Charlie Hustle here in town that was experimenting with a four-day work week.
I said it went great.
That is correct. They said they actually produced more in shorter time than they were producing with longer time. Here's what I think. I don't care either way. I don't have a dog in this fight. I host a four-hour radio, co-host a four-hour radio show every day. So, I mean, I don't work. Unless you count what I do at home, but which is, dare I say the dirty word on the show, research. I don't work a 40-hour work week. I'll be the first to admit it, you know? But if you could tell me that people work less but make more, I'm open to hearing about this. Here's what I think the problem is. And this is not exclusively American, but it certainly is an American thing. Americans don't like change. We dread it.
Bingo.
Just the idea of doing something differently. For example, take Independence School District. They were floating around the idea of going to a four-day school week. And I still remember taking calls from adults who were saying, this is just not going to work. I mean, we think American kids are dumb enough. Independence is just going to make them dumber. Well, there have been studies that show that student performance is either unchanged or slightly better when they go to school only 4 days a week. But why do we oppose it? Because Americans hate change. We hate it. Unless it's in politics, and I'm not getting into politics. 913-586-7798. Iceland says that they have
gone... I only like that change when there's hope that comes with it.
Stop it. Stop it.
Really?
Iceland has found, according to this study, that as more than half of their workers went to a four-day work week, the economic production in that tiny island nation went up. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story from CNN. Iceland's economy is outperforming most European peers after the nationwide introduction of a shorter working week with no loss in pay. This is according to research released today. Between the years 2020 and 2022, 51% of workers in the country had accepted the offer of shorter working hours, including a four-day week, saying the two think tanks found. Man, say that three times fast. Saying the figure is likely to be even higher today than the 51% of workers who went to the four-day work week 2 years ago. Last year, Iceland logged faster economic growth than most European countries, and its unemployment rate is one of the lowest in all of Europe.
I'm assuming they got these numbers from the country's GDP.
Well, I would assume as much, and probably other stuff. They did interview. The trial involved 2,500 people, which is more than 1% of Iceland's working population at the time, and were aimed at maintaining or increasing productivity while improving work-life balance.
Wait, did you just say 2,500 people was more than?
They only have a population of I believe it's 300,000 people on the entire island.
Wow.
It's relatively small and has been that way for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, 380,000 people in 2022.
Okay, 380,000.
I'm looking right at it. Huh?
Yep.
I guess I should read.
James in Olathe. Hello, 586-7798.
Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going, Dana?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Good. So, like, I got a problem with that 4 day or whatever it is, like, especially for blue-collar workers. Blue-collar workers, I mean, heroes work here, too. A lot of blue-collar workers, we keep the infrastructure going.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And for us, a 10-hour work week works out best because we get a lot more productivity done in a 10-hour day than we can, let's say, a 12-hour day or a 6-hour day or even an 8-hour day. And a lot of times we're transporting material, we're getting guys lined out and stuff like that, you know?
I agree with you.
So you would trade your 5.8s for 4.10s?
Absolutely. All day long, because the productivity goes up. Anything over 10 hours, you start losing productivity. Guys get tired, they get complacent, and then that's when accidents and mistakes start happening for the construction world.
All right. Well, James, thank you for getting us started, man.
All right. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Do you think it's easier when you are a maker, like, to talk about productivity in a way that, like, as an office worker, I mean, are you really working 8 hours a day? Or, like you said, studies show it's more like 3.5 or 4. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are in infrastructure, you work with your hands, or there is a project that you've got to help get from point A to point Z, it's a lot easier to see that productivity than sometimes it is in an office setting.
Well, I think not necessarily. I hear where you're going. But for example, I know somebody who's in data entry. Okay. That is her job. She is a data entry person for an insurance company. And she works 5 8-hour days. And she gets so many TPS reports done, right, to borrow a phrase from Office Space. And if, let's say, in an average 40-hour work week, she gets, let's just make it easy, 100 TPS reports done, okay? But when they switch to a 4x8, let's just say it's a 4-day work week, but still only 8 hours.
Okay.
If she gets 80 done with the switchover, clearly she's not more productive. But if she knows, hey, no more going to the water cooler, got to get off line, I have to get 100 done, or more than 100 done, if I want to keep my 4 8-hour work days, I could see where that would work. Where,
yeah,
you know, I like this lifestyle. I want to keep working four days a week, 8 hours a day. I'm going to really make sure that I'm focused on my work so that I can keep my 3-day weekend.
Maybe.
Or if you go to a 4.10, and the same person is piping out 120 TPS reports a week, then you can clearly show that it's much more effective. But if they're not, then what's you know what the punishment is if you don't get it done. You either go back to 5.8s or you get fired.
Or we're going to have you come in on the weekend. Yeah.
Wouldn't say I was missing it. Hi, Bobs. Natalie in Lawrence. Natalie, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. Yeah, I called in because I appreciate your guys' conversation. And as an educator in many fields, the research, I didn't know you guys don't say that word, but I like saying words you're not supposed to say.
well, don't say the other ones.
Because we don't do it. I'm kidding.
Well, I just finished reading this book called Lost in Work, and it's on escaping capitalism. I cannot remember who the author was. But, yeah, when we learn stuff, our brains can only take in so much information before it goes on to the autopilot. So,
I agree. As someone I've got the fire hose to the face thing going on. As someone who has that kind of brain, I absolutely agree. But that tipping point is going to be different for everyone. For some people, it's an 8-hour workday. They can do that just fine and focus just fine. Mm-hmm. For like in a hospital setting, I think there are physicians and nurses who will tell you they thrive working 4/10s. Thrive. And if they did 5/8s, it would send them over the edge.
A lot of nurses work 3/12s.
Or 3/12s. Mm-hmm. Because it's so demanding. And then you get in and you get out and you at least have a little bit of a respite.
913-586-7798. Lisa in Shawnee. Lisa, hello.
Yeah, I just had a question. So if we go to the 6-hour a day work day, does the pay still stay the same or does it increase? Or because if we're only working 6 hours and we're making a certain amount per hour, that's not going to help us if we're at the same pay.
Well, I don't think anybody's talking about going to a 6-hour work day.
And if it was an hourly worker, you're right. You would lose money, period.
I would have to think that this would be an hourly worker would have to go to 4/10s or now you're losing money.
Yeah.
And this deal in Iceland was shorter work weeks with no loss in pay. That was part of the deal. And so no, if you're working 40 hours a week at say Home Depot, and it's 5 days, 8 hours per day. If they were to go to a 4-day work week, you would probably be expected to work 10-hour days.
Which is why I say that this is a class system situation, because you've got an entire portion of the population that this just wouldn't work for. By the way, that portion happens to be the portion that gets paid the least.
It's a fair point, Sam.
In some cases, yeah.
Also, if you look at their GDP, it really didn't increase that much.
Okay, but it didn't decrease, did it?
It fought back to pre-pandemic levels. We're also taking into account that this study happened during the pandemic and the 2 years following.
Partly during the pandemic. John in Shawnee. Hello, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I was just going to add a couple of points. I started at Garmin in Olathe and ended up with a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday shift, which I thought, boy, I really got shafted on that.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I had Wednesday and the weekend off.
Oh, I would love that.
And I was like, man, this is really going to suck. But I ended up after like 2 weeks, I got used to the 10 hours. It didn't even feel like a 10-hour shift anymore. But it was so nice being able to get shopping and stuff done on Wednesday in the middle of the day and have my whole entire weekend off.
That's...
So it ended up, I'm not saying it would love it for everybody, but my last job, I had to travel from like St. Joe to Independence all the way out to Topeka, and they mandated a 10 fours basically. So because there was so much windshield time, you didn't want to be spending that half an hour to an hour driving places, be there for 6 hours and then turn around and go back the same day. So
John, you bring up a good point. And Sam and Dana, if his work schedule was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and he would work 10 hours each one of those 4 days, but he had Wednesdays and the weekends off. And let's say another worker at his shop worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and had Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Or one worked Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You follow my point? You stagger these work schedules around. I would argue an employer, unless this is against the law, and I don't think it would be, you would then, the employer would say, if you have a dental appointment or you have a routine doctor's
appointment. You do that on your time.
You do that on the day off in the middle of the week.
But who are they to tell you how you are to spend your day off?
Well, no, what they're saying is, you know, we're going with this schedule that you would prefer.
Right, but all of your business has to be done on your off day. Well, my doctor can't see me on Wednesday when I'm off. The only time they had available was Tuesday.
Then we'll give you Tuesday off and you can work Wednesday.
All right,
but that doesn't work because the other workers are scheduled to work those days, and you have to work this day because that's the way that
they work
it out.
Way too much talk about math things on a Friday. I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
What?
We're very close to Festivus Friday.
And numbers, and yeah, we're out. I'm
done.
Oh,
did you see them from the text line? Did you see the final play of Thursday night football last night?
No, I
know we're not a sports station.
I heard it was very controversial.
Okay, it was on. Wait till we come back, and then you tell us, because it was on in the background, and then I shut it off to go watch your Bad Monkey, Sam, that I am now obsessed with.
I was going to say, it's an amazing show.
Also, when we get back, would you pay $1.5 million for a banana duct taped to a wall? No, stop it. It is art.
It could be yours. Okay.
Do they not realize that they've been replacing this banana? Because otherwise it would have rotted by now.
Say, how is it still yellow?
Not the same banana.
Fools and their money are easily parted.
I think it's art. And I'm going to tell you what I think it says when we come back.
Festivus Friday, when we return after 5 o'clock, after the 5 o'clock news. Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances that is brought to you by Q39. Referees were apparently the talk of Thursday night football after Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold was clearly brought down in his own end zone by the face mask to all but end the game as Minnesota was starting its final drive trailing by 8 points. Referee Traub Blake spoke to a pool reporter after the Rams' 30-20 win as fans were flabbergasted that the clear infraction did not result in a penalty. Said referee Blake, "The quarterback was facing the opposite direction for me, so I did not have a good look at it. I did not have a look, and I did not see the face mask being pulled, obviously. However, the confounding part of Blake's comment is that he was standing right behind Darnold as his head turned nearly completely around due to the face mask in a 28-20 game.
Yes, before the defender's fingers locked into the face mask, Sam Darnold was looking forward. Half a second later,
He was looking in the other direction.
People are ticked.
And he didn't turn his body. His body was still looking forward.
Wow.
Sam Darnold is now an owl. I didn't see it. I watched most of the game. I stopped watching right at the end because I had to start making dinner at some point, and it was getting late. But when I went back and sat down and was eating dinner, that was all they were talking about. And then, of course, all of the memes all over social media about how if that had been Patrick Mahomes, this ref would be in jail right now.
Well, there was somebody at AI manipulated the voice and, of course, the face because it looked like his mouth was actually saying it the other day. And this was on one of those reels on Facebook, which if you're not familiar, it's just like going on.
It's like crack. You just keep watching them.
Yeah.
It is like crap.
It is, man, because it really gets your algorithm quickly. But anyway, this referee, you know, Patrick Mahomes is tackled, sacked, I think it was. And the referee goes, roughing the passer, number, 58 on the defense. This is, of course, due to His Highness Patrick Mahomes being tackled behind the line of scrimmage.
There will be a 40-yard penalty, automatic touchdown, because Patrick Mahomes is the greatest of all time.
No more touching of His Highness Patrick Mahomes during the rest of the game has been ordered.
There's like 30 to 40 of those videos going around right now.
It was really well done.
Yeah. Oh, they're good at it.
Yeah. The art world has gone bananas.
Yes, it has.
Really?
It's art.
I just read from the New York Post. They're very punny. 5 years after its creation, Maurizio Catalan's Comedian, consisting of a banana duct taped to a wall, could fetch an eye-popping $1.5 million when it is auctioned off by Sotheby's in New York City next month.
That's one expensive banana.
However, what you actually get for the staggering sum is not the original banana.
The original banana.
The art lover who makes the winning bid on Comedian cannot expect Catalan to come and install the fruity work in their home. Instead, they will receive a certificate of authenticity, giving them the right to show the work and detailed instructions about how to display it.
Wait a minute. So you have to buy the right to the art, and then you have to go out and buy your own banana and your own duct tape?
No, actually, no. You get the right to do whatever he did, and they will send you a new banana and a roll of duct tape.
What he did, Scott, was dare to redefine what art can be.
By creating non-art.
Yes, and look at how that woman is staring intently at the banana duct taped to the wall.
Do you ever think we deserve the stupidity that we are today?
What does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It means a man had a banana and some duct tape, and he put it on a wall. Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances coming up next. Get in early. The phone lines are open, all eight of them. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Festivus Friday is next on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.